the prevailing gospel today leaves out the meat and the truths of this. So we're, of course, in Revelation chapter 5, and I'm going to skip forward to verse 5, because we need to ever be cognizant and of the truth and the reality that we have a part in this whole thing. Salvation is a relationship, not a one-sided promise. And I was thinking this morning, spiritual truths, though they're ours, they don't open up unless we prevail in faith. You know, if you read the first five verses, there's several things that stand out. And I love this. I mean, I was reading this morning. It just, John in chapter 5, verse 1 and 2, what does he say? And I saw in the right hand of him. Verse 2, I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice. He's seeing things. We gotta realize that all of this stuff, I mean, you look at what John walked in, you know, where he was with Christ in the Gospels, and you read his epistles, but he's seeing new things. God has always got new things to those whose hearts are right with him. There is something inherent in God to share himself with his creation. That's his heart. His heart is to share and communicate. But sharing, you know, just like in earthly experiences, we tend to share deep things of ourselves with what? Others that we can trust. So it is with God. He's getting ready to go judge Sodom and Gomorrah. And he goes, shall I hide from my friend Abraham the thing I'm going to do? Because I trust him. Because, I mean, the word says, because I know him. See that? You want to see things in the Word of God. You want the heavens to be unveiled. Walk with God. Spend time with him. He wants to communicate himself more to you than you want to hear and see. And so we have this unfolding of God through the ages. I mean, the book of Revelation's been out since 90 AD. But how many read and comprehend the transactions that are going on? And God is ever beckoning you into a life where he can unveil himself. And I was thinking this morning, I mean, man, I was thinking this morning about when Jesus took three disciples up to the Mount of Transfiguration. He didn't take all 12. And I'm thinking, can you imagine being one of the other ones? Jesus takes those three and he says to the rest of them, I'll be back, boys. And you're going like, you got to see God as a God of choice, a God of trust, and a God who longs to unveil himself to you on a personal level. We, you know, religion always, always, always makes everything generic. You'll always read, well, he's, you know, we're this, we're that. But Jesus is always coming and making truth personal. So we read, you know, we've gone through the seven churches early in the book of Revelation. And so the word goes out to the church, but it's to him that overcometh. See, overcoming brings you to personal relationship. You leave the masses, and now Christ begins to become your own Savior. And Until Christ is yours, your faith is generic. It's, you know, it's just this belief system. But Christ has come because he's got a personal, he's called you to a personal expression. He didn't call you to sit in a pew. The people of God, they can't sit in pews. They got to be up and about their Father's business. They got to be up expressing and revealing and communicating and contending. It's beyond comprehension. There is something within man. I mean, you look at all these mountains all over the world, and there's always some nutcase that's got to go to the top. And you go, well, that's because God put that in man. He put it in man to climb the highest, to go to the deepest. That's God going, that's me. Come unto me. Walk with me. I want to show you things that no man can see. And he's just beckoning us. And the whole purpose of ministry, like I used to climb Three Sisters every year in Fernie. And I'd always take these pictures, and then someone would come visit us. And I'd be sitting there going, see this? That's what's up there. And inevitably, someone that came to visit us would say, when are you going next? And then we'd all go up together. But the pictures don't communicate the real thing. They're just poor. You know, a guy looks at it and goes, yeah, that looks pretty cool. And you're going, no, 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 no. You get up there. And, you know, here's what you see. And they, what do they do? And that's you. In your climb in God, in your walking with him, he's going to take you aside. He's going to go, hey, look at this. And you're like, oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. And then what do? You go out and you go, hey, guys, look what I saw. And see what happens. You get caught up in the glory of God. And they beat the disciples after Jesus was crucified. They beat the disciples and they charged them and said, don't talk anymore in this guy's name. And the disciples go, we can't help but declare what we've seen and heard. And when you, as you see and hear, you're not going to be able to be silenced by the religious. They're not going to be able to keep you from the fire that burns in your heart. It's good. It'll get you in all kinds of trouble. But anyway, so when you read these verses, like chapter 5, verse 1 and 2, and I saw, that's for you. You gotta realize that the Spirit, why was the Spirit given? To bring you personally into all truth. He's come to take you on a journey into the heavens. Oh, that's too good. Anyway, chapter 5, verse 5. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not. Why weep not? Because John saw this book in the heavens. A sealed book. This book is sealed. And everybody has this idea in heaven, all everything, you know, people say, well, you're saved, it's all over. You're the righteousness of God in Christ. You're perfect, you're yada, yada, yada. Well, that ain't so. That ain't so. He's promised all of this for you. In Christ, every answer to your human condition has been fully met. That book, that sealed book, this elder says, and I love the fact that it's an elder, you got to see, that's you and I are called to participate in the opening of heavenly things. You got to see that you've been called to that. Weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed. Why could Jesus open the book, the heavenly book? Because he prevailed here on earth. Why are heavenly truths available to you? Because you're prevailing. See, to him that overcometh, we're going to go through all those nifty little promises here in a minute. Just in the book of Revelation, there's like, I don't know what's left. But Jesus had to win the right to open this book. You gotta see our involvement in our inheritance. There is an involvement of you in it. Not that you're doing it in your own strength, but you're availing yourself for the life of Christ to overcome you, overcome everything in you that doesn't want to do the will of God. And believe me, there's lots. In fact, your whole carnal being is set in opposition to God. And let's just make sure we're all on the same page with that last statement. Let's go to Romans 8. This is the condition of the human man. Let me just find it here. Verse 7. Romans 8, verse 7. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, and neither indeed can be. You want to know why there's opposition to your desires and God's? It's because the carnal man, and the carnal man cannot be saved. You know, sooner or later you're going to come to the point where you go, this Brian isn't going to get it done because this Brian doesn't want to get it done. God can't save the carnal man, but he can crucify it. Now the cross becomes the means to walk in heavenly places. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the cross, for it is the power of God unto salvation. The cross is, it's like this, right? Here's your will, and God goes, here's my will. Ooh. And it's the outworking of the cross that brings you into the resurrection life of Jesus. Paul says, I die daily. It's a daily, you wake up in the morning and you get your sword on, and you go, okay, Lord, today I need your grace. Today I need the infusion of your life, because this other guy is with you 24/7. And God goes, I got an answer for it. And as we begin to dwell and abide in the Spirit of God, like, I mean, I love the word pictures. God reaches down, grabs Ezekiel by the hair, and suspends him. I don't know what that, I just love it. That's our hope, is God reaching down and laying hold of you. And what happens when Ezekiel gets lifted up? He sees things from a whole nother perspective. You get on the top of Fisher Peak or on the top of Three Sisters, nothing looks like it looks. You know, you're walking through Fernie and you're going, well, this is sort of what I think it looks like. You get on top of one of those mountains and you go, oh, it's a whole different perspective. And your walk with God will bring you into new perspectives. And people that are struggling in their faith, they see one thing because they're down here in the battle. But as you walk with God, you're able to see and know from your own experience what they're going through. And you have a different perspective. You got the perspective to say, hey, hang in there, man. You got a God that's on your side. Hang in there. And it gives you perspective and the hope that God births in you in your perplexities becomes the very hope you can share with another. And there's no condemnation. There's hope. There's power. And the promises of victory. So let's just... I told you this would be short today. Let's just go through just the promises of God to the churches. And all these churches are alive and well right here in Cranbrook. They're under the auspices of the Laodicean church, but within the atmosphere of that, there's different expressions here in town. And so truth is eternal. Truth is always present tense. Whatever was, is. And so, you know, everything you're going through is no different than what some poor schlep in Laodicea was going through in his day. And I think the battle's a little more intense, but because we're getting near to the final day. So let's just read a few scriptures. Revelation 2:7. You want to read that, Linda? I like your translation.
He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God.
You want to eat? You want to eat of the tree of life? You want to know the power? Jesus is that living tree. You want to know that? Well, how does that come to be? By hearing? Hearing? To him that hath an ear? To him that overcometh, will I give to eat. Why was the tree of life, man was prohibited to the tree of life? Because he chose the tree of knowledge over the tree of life. See, the scribes and the Pharisees, what are they doing? They're eating of the tree of knowledge. Jesus said, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have life. The scriptures aren't going to give you life. They bring you to the one who is the life. For in they testify of me, Jesus said, but you won't come to me. See, it's one thing to read the word. It's one thing to have some understanding. But it's another thing to eat of the tree of life. There is a power, a pulsating power of God as we partake of the tree of life. And then Revelation 2:11.
He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death.
Woo, that's a good one. How many people today know what the second death is? How many people know there's a first death and a second death? There is a life hereafter and there is a death hereafter. And what we think death is isn't necessarily, I'm not going to get into this today, but you know, in the book of Genesis, God says, you eat from that tree, you're going to die. Well, Adam and Eve didn't drop dead, but they were spiritually separated. Death is to be separated from life. And so there is a second death. There's a second resurrection coming. And there is a first resurrection and a second resurrection. But those are some serious things. We won't get into that. But let's go to verse 2:17.
The one having an ear, hear what the Spirit says to the assemblies. To the one overcoming, I will give him to eat from the hidden manna, and I will give him a white pebble, and on the pebble a new name having been written, which no one knows, if not the one receiving it.
Yes, man, I love that one. I love this one. So, first of all, we're presented with the tree of life. There's an eating of the tree of life. But now there is a hidden manna. And you go, what is going on here? What's the difference? Big difference. We won't get into it too much today, but the hidden manna, Jesus is at the well. He's weary. You know, none of us appreciate the fact that Jesus got weary. He walked like you and I. He knows what it's like to be tired. He knows what it's like. You can imagine the multitudes, ministering to the multitudes. You're like, get me out of here. And the hidden manna, so Jesus is sitting at the well, and he sends his disciples into Sychar to get food. And this woman comes. And he's got this little six-sentence conversation, and before you know it, she's going, you're the Messiah. The disciples come back with food, and Jesus says, I'm not hungry. And they're like, wait a minute. You sent us in for food. We come back with food, and now you're not hungry. Did someone else give you something to eat? Jesus goes, I got meat that you don't know of. And he says later on, my meat is to what? Do the will of my Father. See, there's a hidden manna for you and I. When we are weary, when we are tired, when we're at our end, God says, go feed someone. That's the hidden manna. But you got to overcome what? Yourself. You got to overcome the weariness of yourself and continue to look out. And there's a hidden manna that God's bringing us into. But it's that hidden manna is to those who overcome. And Revelation 2:26. I like the pebble. Oh, let's go back to that for a second. Because here's, you got to see how powerful this is. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give to him a white stone, and in that stone will be written a new name. This is a personal thing. It doesn't matter to Jaster what Jordan's doing. This is where you got to see that the hidden manna is for you. But there is a place like Peter's in the boat getting, you know, they're all just hanging on. Peter's in the boat and he sees Jesus out there walking on the water. Well, he doesn't care that the other 11 are staying in the boat. There's something stirring in his heart. There's something that's going, you can walk this, man. You can get out there and you can walk in this. You can walk like Jesus walked. And Peter's got to go, I don't care what the other 11 are doing. I got to go. I got to do this thing. That's overcoming. When your walk is no longer determined by someone else's walk. I get these people, they send me emails and they go, hey, so-and-so is turning, you know, doing great things here, and I'm going to join him. And you go, why? Why? That's his thing. What's yours? You know, Peter looks at Jesus and go, what about John? Jesus said, what's that to you? I'll tell you what's coming your way. You're going to get crucified. Oh, wait a minute. Whoa. But you got to see, you got your own walk. You got to take responsibility for your own walk. And what does God do to those who overcome? He writes a new name. Oh, believe me, this is for us. So Jacob's out there. He's got this call on him. But he's in this place of wrestling with God. The name of the place is Jabbok, which means to be poured out. It also means to be poured in. And as God's pouring you out, he's pouring him in. You want a new name? Jacob wrestled with the angel. And as you discover in your walk, you're going to find yourself wrestling with God. Because this carnal man doesn't want to do God's will. Jacob's wrestling with the angel. And finally, God deals a crippling blow to the strength of Jacob. And in that, here's where Jacob overcomes. He doesn't let go. God cripples him. God takes you through crippling experiences. And he's going, are you going to let me go? Jacob says, ain't happening. Ain't happening. Job says, though he slay me, I'm going to trust him. I'm going to hold fast to this. And what happens to Jacob? The angel says, no more is your name Jacob. No more are you a conniver, a supplanter, a schemer. Now your name is Israel, which means prince with God. And what does he say? Because thou hast prevailed. See, you got to prevail. You want a new name in God? You want a new nature, a new promise? Prevail with God. When he takes you through places where you are at the end of yourselves and you discover that there's nothing in you that wants to do his will, and yet you cling to him, you're on your way to a new name. And that new name is given to you. You got to see, this is all personal stuff. Anyway, got to keep moving. Revelation 2:24.
Now to you I say, and to the rest in Thyatira, as many as do not have this doctrine, who have not known the depths of Satan, as they say, I will put on you no other burden, but hold fast what you have till I come. And he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give power over the nations.
Keep going.
He shall rule them with a rod of iron. They shall be dashed to pieces like the potter's vessels. I also have received from my Father, and I will give him the morning star. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says.
Read these promises. Read the promises of God to you. There's so much here I can't even... We could spend weeks on this. But notice, and if you go before, we've already kind of gone through this, but read the fact that to him that overcometh, they're not buying into the common doctrine of the day. You see that? There's a doctrine being taught at Thyatira. And these overcomers aren't buying into it. And this is powerful. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works. People, we got a gospel today that says faith doesn't have any works. You've got it all. You're good. You got to see that faith without works is dead before God. What is God noticing here? He's noticing that they're keeping the works of God. If he's in you, he will begin to produce in you works consistent with your call and your purpose. There's no such thing as a workless Christian unless they're a faithless Christian. And God's reward to those who work the works of God, that's part of the overcoming. There's so much here. But some of these churches, you'll notice that the promise is greater because of the things they have to overcome. You got to overcome the common teaching of today where you got it all. There's nothing in here that says that. The very promise to the overcomers at the church of Thyatira is he will give them power over the nations. Let the enormous, don't let your faith, your perceptions of who you are and where you are deter you from embracing these promises. Oh, well, that's for some great man of faith. No. The word goes out to the church of Thyatira, to anyone that has an ear. And the things you hear will take you out of the things you are. Remember that little statement. The things you hear will take you out of the things you are. Never let the word of God be determined by your concept of who you are. If you do, you're defeated. The promises of God are not to who you are. They're because of who he is. His promises to you, the reason these promises are given is because the Lamb has prevailed. And he has called you to himself. Do not stumble at the greatness of his call. The angel of God goes to Gideon. Oh, thou mighty man of God. Gideon's looking around like, you talking to me? And he goes and he gives his little heritage. I'm the least of the least of the least of the least. And the angel says, that's why I'm come. You got to see that for yourself. You got to let the word of God elevate you out of who you are. You are not the issue. But it's in the hearing. It's in the hearing that Peter rose up out of the boat. Like, who's walked on water? I mean, you won't find that in any manual I know. You won't find that in any teaching I know. But Peter heard. Jesus is out there drawing him and calling him. And Peter's like, nobody can walk on water, but I got to go. You let the call of God bring forth in you a step of faith that you've never walked in. That's overcoming. Revelation 3:5. Oh, this is just... Lord, I just... Give us ears to hear today.
The one overcoming, this one shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot his name out of the book of life, not ever. And I will acknowledge his name before my Father and before his angels. The one having an ear, hear what the Spirit says to the assemblies.
See, what is the teaching today? Oh, we're clothed in white garments. We got it all. What does the word say?
It's him who conquers.
Him that conquers. Him that keeps his garments white. When you get saved, you are clothed. But you got to keep them white. If we read earlier before this, it'll say, we'll go to verse 4, there's a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments. They've kept them white. They've fought the fight of faith. And God is beckoning us what? To fight. We got to fight. Revelation 3:12.
The one overcoming, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. And he shall not go out anymore. And I will write the name of my God on him and the name of the city of my God, New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and my new name.
What are you going to do with that? These things are beyond comprehension, but they're within your ability in Christ to apprehend. Mm-hmm. His promises are given so that you might overcome. And we'll read that in Peter. He's going to write. Okay, I'll just take one little phrase here. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. This temple in heaven is made up of living stones. It ain't some building made out of concrete and stone. So is the temple here on earth. And as you overcome, this is where eldership begins to take place. You become a pillar. You become a place of supporting the structure of the body of Christ. The elders are called to what? To bring wisdom, to bring definition, to bring the glory and purposes of God, and to make sure that the church in their area is walking in the covenant that God has provided. That's an elder. There's a pillar. They become something of substance. They're not elected. An elder is one, that's a description of what a man is. And God wants to bring you into the stability that you can have miracles happen, and you see through the miracles, and you see the work of Satan. You are able to see through the imposters that come. What does it say in the letter to the church at Ephesus? You've tried them that say they're apostles, and you found them liars. Why? Because you have discernment to know who God is and who he should be in others. And there's an equipping, but the equipping comes as you overcome. You overcome the falseness in your own heart. Man, I fear my own heart more than I fear anything else out there. Because what does Jesus say? The heart is deceitful above all things. There's guys out there in ministry. There's guys in town. They read their own mail. They think they're something. And there's none of us that are anything other than objects of his victory. It's his victory that we walk in. Anyway, what was that one?
That was the second last.
Okay, yeah, okay. So we're at 3:21 now. Oh, there's a couple more.
The one overcoming, I will give to him to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat with my Father on his throne.
These are pretty amazing. What is Jesus saying? If you overcome as I overcome, you're going to have a share in the dispensations of my kingdom. That's, and what is that promise to? The Laodicean church, in whose time we live. And God is looking for a people that arise, that go, this isn't your church, this is his church. This is his people. This is, you know, what is the Corinthian church? Oh, I'm of Paul, I'm of Cephas, I'm of yada, yada, yada. Paul says, you're carnal. This isn't about men. This is about Christ himself. And got one more, Revelation 21:7. We're going to come back to the other one.
The one overcoming will inherit all things, and I will be God to him, and he will be the son to me. But for the cowardly and faithless and disgusting and murderers and fornicators and users of magic and idolaters and all liars, their part will be in the lake burning with fire and brimstone, which is the second death.
You see, it's what we become. You can't name the name of Jesus, be a liar, and expect to inherit all things in God. We have a gospel today that says, regardless of what you do, this is yours. God is going, not so, not so. And the fearful, the unbelieving. Well, God's going, this new Jerusalem is the city of God. It's a city. Maybe let's just quickly go to that for a half second. And Hebrews, it's either 12 or 13. 12, 23?
Yep.
Yeah, okay. Listen to what you've been called to. But you are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn. Well, sorry, no more rabbit trails today. Which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. You want to be an inhabitant of the city of God? Just men made perfect. Let the Spirit of God work in you. His idea of perfection and yours is not even in the same realm of consideration. He can look at a weak man clinging to Christ for every ounce of strength and breath. God goes, that's a perfect man. We look at some guy that can stand up and be arrogant and confident, and we go, oh, that's a man of God. God looks down and he says, to such a one will I look. To him that is broken, contrite of spirit, and trembleth at my word. God says, that's what I'm looking for. And you go like, hey, I think I can, by the grace of God, I can find that in my place. But anyway, this whole thing is about prevailing faith. Your faith prevailing through the obstacles that are in your path. And what does it say about Jesus? Who for the joy set before him, overcame, endured the cross. He endured it because the joy that was set before him. So, read often these promises and begin to allow the Word of God to rest in your heart, going, that's part of my inheritance. That's for me. And how I need the grace of God. How I need Christ in me. What does the word say? Christ in you, the hope of glory. The hope of all these promises is because he's in you and alive and working. And let him do his works. Keep his works. Whatever, as your faith grows, your works will change. But whatever and wherever your faith now produces works in you, walk in it. Stay in it. And I guarantee you, as your faith grows, your works will change. And that's what makes this thing so exciting, is because it gets better.